We have a good time in this class, don't we? We don't worry about the little stuff. We just have a good time. So good to see you here today. We got some of Brother Guerrero's class in with us. He's sick, so pray for him. He has that virus, some kind of virus. And so we want to pray for him. It's good to have you and good to have visitors with us. Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're talking about truths that transform our lives. And this is one that certainly would make a major difference in our lives as Christians. And so Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And the title of the lesson today is How to Please God. How to Please God. And it's about faith. And as we go to this verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6, you'll see what we're saying, what God is saying, because he says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible. That's a powerful word, isn't it? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And that's God he's talking about. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those that diligently seek him. And so our lesson today really is about faith. Now we have one of the primary illustrations in the Bible of faith early on in Exodus chapter 14. In those verses, I'll read some of these, but you can see how Moses and the children of Israel came to a certain place. God had done a lot of miracles, a lot of things already, the plagues, all of that. Now they come to the place where Pharaoh's gaining on them, and they're at the Red Sea, and what in the world are you going to do? Exodus 14:9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. Now that's powerful. And his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Beelzephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. You and I probably would have been too. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? They're trying to blame it on him now. You know, if you can't blame it on God, blame it on the pastor or somebody like that, that'd be all right. So, but in verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He said, it's all right to pray, but here's what you need to tell them. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. You say, well, that's all right, just keep going. Yeah, but you got a Red Sea there. But speak to them and tell them, move forward, go forward. So that's what Moses told them to do. And why was God doing that? Why did he say that to them? At this point, I believe he was, we could say, testing their faith. Testing their faith. Now, he wanted them to trust him. Now, that took a lot of faith that day on Moses' part and on their part, I believe. But God wanted them to trust him in this horrible situation. But one of the reasons he allowed them to get in this situation was so he could demonstrate how powerful he was. So they would have a lesson they'd never forget. Look how powerful our God is. He parted the Red Sea. So when they got to Jordan, they might have had a little more faith. But at any rate, God is doing that. Now, we're supposed to trust him, but God wants us to trust him in all situations. Now, we begin in justification. How did you get saved? By faith. You trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Redeemer. And so that's justification. But it doesn't end there. Through our sanctification, our growing in the Lord, then we need to continue to have faith. And so we have Roman numeral 1 in the outline, a description of faith. A description of faith. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to define, but it's there. Now, A in your outline, true faith has confidence. We're going to talk about three things here, but number one, true faith has confidence. Confidence, confidence. In other words, you have confidence that God will do exactly what God says He'll do. Confidence in God. Brother Lindsay and Brother Temp were sitting up there in those chairs a while ago. I don't think they would have tried to sit down if they hadn't had confidence that those chairs would hold them. And you probably slept on a mattress last night, maybe in a chair, I don't know, but in a mattress, or half night in a mattress, another half in your recliner, or whatever it may be. I know who I'm speaking to in this class. So, but you had confidence in that mattress, that bed's going to hold me, and you had confidence. So we have to have confidence. We have to know that God's going to do what God says He's going to do. And then B, true faith requires change. True faith requires change. Here's what happens. When we get saved by faith, and we know that we're going to heaven. You know you're going to heaven if you're saved. Amen? You know you're born again. And so heaven's going to be your home. And because you know that by faith, then that should be manifested in your life. In other words, if you know you're saved on your way to heaven and you're going to meet God, then you're probably going to live your life out a little differently than if you did not have that knowledge. And so you have to have that faith, and there'll be changes in every area of our life, usually manifested in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We're saved, we're justified, we know it by faith. So we have faith, we have change, and then see, we have true faith that demands commitment. Well, that's a word that's flown away from our congregations in these days, and even in the independent fundamental Baptist circles. True faith demands commitment. Could I encourage you today, especially senior citizens, don't lose your excitement for the things of God. There was a time when you first got saved, somebody talks about Jesus and going to heaven, you almost want to shout. And if you're not careful, you'll come to the place, yeah, I've heard that before, ho-hum. We need to be excited about God all of our life, all the time. And true faith demands that kind of commitment and zeal, not a lackadaisical attitude. So think about how faithful God has been to you, all the things God has done for us, saving us and all the rest. And I believe when we look at all that, we'll be committed to Him. True faith in Him demands that we are committed to Him. Don't lose the excitement at any age or any stage of your life in serving the Lord. God doesn't want us to do that. Let's say in the matter of witnessing, telling others about Christ. There's a magician by the name of Penn Jillette. And not Jillette, but Jillette. Penn Jillette. And he is a famous man, but he is a total atheist. I looked him up and Googled him and watched him and listened to an interview a man gave him. One of the things he said, for instance, he said this, and we'll all go, oh my, how could anybody say that? And this man said, so you believe God died? And he said, absolutely not. He said, God never was, so how could He die? God never existed, so how could He die? That's how strong an atheist he is. But now here's what he said about you and me as Christians. And we need to listen up to this because it ought to sting our hearts. He said this, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? Wow, we're reprimanded by an atheist? Let me say that again. How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and then not tell them that. That's a reprimand. He's, in other words, what he's saying, if I believe what you say you believe, I'd tell everybody about Jesus. I'd tell everybody about God. I'd tell everybody to get saved. That's a reprimand to us. I'm just saying, don't lose your excitement about witnessing and following the Great Commission and serving the Lord and doing what the Lord says to do. Luke 9:23-24, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He didn't say until you become a senior citizen or until you get in that age. Now look, don't get mad at me if you say, well, he's on my case and I'm older and I can't do. Look, sometimes God changes your ministry. You may be in a hospital bed in a nursing home one of these days, but you can still have a prayer ministry. You're important to God. Doesn't make you less important, but we all serve the Lord and we should continue to do that daily. And he said, follow me, for whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So, secondly, we have the daily forecast, a description of faith, and then Roman numeral 2, a daily forecast. And what simply we need to see is we need to live by faith every day of our life. No matter what comes our way, we need to live by faith. A, in your outline, every day there must be a step of faith, a step of faith. And we all have decisions to make, don't we? We make decisions all the time. Most of the time, every day. I don't know a day goes by that I don't make some decisions. Some of them are less important. Some of them are important. And I used to make them when I was younger, but now that I'm a senior saint, I still have to make decisions. It doesn't matter, again, at any stage or any age. So sometimes they're big decisions. Sometimes they're little decisions. But we make them every day. B, in your outline, every day there must be many opportunities. Every day in our life, there has to be many opportunities, and there's an abundance of those things that we have to exercise faith. For instance, fighting temptation. You say, oh, preacher, don't you know we're senior saints, we're not tempted? We dealt with that last week. You can be tempted to be depressed, jealous, angry, bitter, a whole host of things. You fill out the rest. But if you're fighting temptation of anger, for instance, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you you need to respond this way to that anger. And how are you going to do that? Well, you exercise faith. If God said you are able to do it and to overcome it, then he meant it, and so you exercise faith and you respond. If you're irritated with a neighbor or somebody, instead of falling out with them, go give them a tract. Maybe the Holy Spirit would tell you to do that. Or if you have a child or a grandchild that really needs some talking to, pull them aside. Get alone with them. That's the best way to talk to them. And don't ream them out in front of everybody, but get alone with them and just talk to them and say, you know, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, has spoken to me about some of the things going on in your life. And then take a step of faith, obey the Holy Spirit, step out by faith and speak to them. And sometimes God will use those things and he'll change us to do that. Now, If we're not having victory in these areas, if we're not having victory in these areas, don't blame God. We cannot blame God because God's not to blame. God can always give the victory, right? He said he could, and he said we could have the victory through him. So the blame is never with God. The blame would be us, victory, and we have to claim that victory by faith, so that we are overcomers. And then C, every day there must be an attribute needed. There must be an attribute needed. Hebrews 11:6, again, our text verse says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Now notice this latter part of that verse. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He is there. He is a rewarder of them that diligently, carefully, meticulously, diligently seek him. So we come to God, we approach God, we have a need. And we have many of those needs. Only God can meet that need, but we have to trust Him to meet that need. It may be a financial need. You may need more patience. God can give you that. It may be a need for healing. If it's in God's will, He can heal you here. I always like to pray that God will heal people here. But if He doesn't heal them here, He'll heal them in heaven. But we may have a need for forgiveness, to forgive somebody. So these are the things that we need to trust God for. We have to believe He's there and that He will reward us if we want to do something about it, if we want to do it by faith. Now, our decisions are made usually daily. Now, James says this in James 1, 5, and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, or any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You need wisdom, ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't get angry with you about it, and he doesn't hold back, and it shall be given him. But watch out, there's a qualifier. We stop there usually, but here's verse 6. Listen to it. It connects with verse 5. But let him ask in faith, believing, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You ever stood down on the beach and watched those waves and wind blows them this way and that way and the other way? He says, if you come and ask for faith or wisdom, believe that he's going to give you that wisdom. Don't, after you get through, bite your fingernails off and worry yourself to death, but trust him and believe he's going to do that. Let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. Don't waver in that. So what's the key here to getting wisdom? It's faith. It's faith. It's believing, asking and believing. So if you have no faith, then you can't expect an answer. Look at verse 7, James 1, 7. For let not that man think, that is the wavering person, don't let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You got to have faith and believe God. Now, Romans 8, 28 fits into that, but we must have faith if we're going to have our prayers answered and if we expect God to answer and meet our needs. So we need his wisdom, and we have to remember that God is a powerful God. We need his power. We need his wisdom. We need his power. God is omnipotent. That's a fancy word that says he has all power. If you believe that, would you say amen? God has all power. I mean, he is not limited in his power. Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretch out thine arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. I believe that. I believe that's the kind of God we serve, a God who has all power and nothing is too hard for God. Take your biggest problem today, multiply it 100 times, and then say, God, can you handle that? And God can handle it, whatever it is. Now, we have access to his power. And how do we get that access? Through Jesus Christ, his son. And so we have access to his power. Now, Jesus worked a lot of miracles, didn't he? In his life, he was constantly working miracles. And a lot of times, most of the time, he would attach whatever miracle he did to the person or maybe some persons, whether or not they had faith. If thou believest, thou canst. If you believe, rise and walk. But in Matthew 9, 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. There were four of them. And Jesus, seeing their faith, not even the sick man's faith, but their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. He honored their faith. Faith was so important. And why do you think they went up on top of that house and dropped him down? Do you think they would have done that if they hadn't had faith? They had faith. So if we want power, we have to approach Jesus like these four did. In other words, we have to believe that he can do it. On another account, I'll just touch on this one about out of time, but Matthew 17, 14 through 20, when they were come to the multitude, there came a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, sore vexed. He falls in the fire, falls in the water, I brought him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything about it. Then Jesus answered verse 17 and said, O faithless and perverse generation. Verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. They said, why couldn't we do it? He said, your unbelief. Because of your unbelief, verily I said unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now that's the tiniest seed in the world as far as I know. That's tiny. And ye shall say unto this mountain or problem or difficulty, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So we need his wisdom, we need his power, we need his constant presence. Remember that he is always with you. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 139, you can't go up there, you can't go down there, you can't go over there, you can't stand here without him being with you. He's in your presence, and he's always available to guide, comfort, and protect us. So sometimes we don't feel like it. We don't feel like he's there, but faith has to kick in. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It becomes real. We can't see him physically, but we know he's there, and he's going to help us have faith that he is present. And then every day there must be a reward to gain, D in your outline. Every day there must be a reward to gain. Again, in our text verse 11:6, he says, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He wants to reward us. He loves to reward us. But it's not his problem. It's our problem. Lack of faith hinders that. And it's a shame. It's a real shame if we miss out on God's great blessings because we don't exercise faith. Number three, a diligent focus. We need a diligent focus. This requires discipline and diligence in our lives. A decision to live by faith must be made. You know, so many of our the things we deal with, it's a matter of decision. It's a matter of decision. You're jealous of somebody, you decide not to be. Why? It's God's will. So you make a decision. That's the opposite of your feelings. Your feelings would say, I hope they fail. But your faith says, no, I've made a decision. That's God's will. And so he leads us to do that. Same way in witnessing. And we won't feel like witnessing. We got to do it. And Jeremiah said in 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If we're going to live by faith, listen to this statement now. We can't always live by logic. We can't always live by logic. Jim Elliot went to the Aka Indians. Everybody thought he was crazy and those people that went over there. But he lived by faith. He got killed, but thousands have been saved because of that. Everybody thought he was being illogical. But he wrote in his journal these words, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And that was faith. That wasn't just logic. And so thousands were saved. And then B, a desire to please him must be kept. A desire to please him. And that gets back to there's one way, James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We must have that desire. And then C, a determination to hold on must be settled. A determination to hold on must be settled. Trials come and it will determine it. The way we handle them will be determined by our faith. Sometimes it's hard to do, but we should do it. Just think of what if you went through what Job went through? Sometimes we think that's a little fairy tale. And he really, no, Job went through that. So did his wife, by the way, as Joe Arthur reminded us one time, Pastor. But that's true. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And God blessed him and God honored him because of that. And so the world's faith, we put faith into a lot of the world's things, our job, our retirement, our income that we have, our savings and all of that. But we've got to put our faith not only in salvation in Christ, but in sanctification, living for him. So there's only one way. Hear me now. We'll close it out right here. Two thoughts. There's only one way to really please God, and that's by faith. If you're not practicing faith, then you're not pleasing God. And number two, choose, you have to choose, it's a decision to live by faith daily, every day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scriptures about faith and help us to practice faith when our emotions and our logic and everything else goes against it. Help us to do what you've said to do, to believe you, to trust you, to lean on you, to have faith in you. And we know that we can come out on the other side of our trials like Job, giving you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name.